This is the podcast of Sunday, the 17th of May, and I'd just like to welcome all of you listening today, especially those listening by telephone. I do apologise for those that got cut off from the call last Sunday. It turns out that we have to limit the length of our service for the telephone. It gets cut off at 45 minutes, so I've had to reduce the service today and cut out a few things. Unfortunately, but glad you can join us today. So I'm just going to begin with a short prayer as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing together the hymn Amazing Grace. If you are able to sing along in your home, it would be lovely if you can do that. Amazing Grace.
chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns.
Okay, we're now going to hear our first reading from the scriptures, and Isaac is going to read for us again by request by many of you out there. Love Isaac's reading and his voice, so I've asked Isaac to do another reading for us this morning from Genesis chapter 17.
Genesis 17. 1-8. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Obey me and always do what is right. I will make my covenant with you and give you many descendants. Abraham bowed down with his face touching the ground, and God said, I make this covenant with you. I promise that you will be the ancestor of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham, because I am making you the ancestor of many nations. I will give you many descendants, and some of them will be kings. You will have so many descendants that they will become nations. I will keep my promise to you and your descendants in future generations as an everlasting covenant. I will be your God and the God of your descendants. I will give to you and to your descendants this land in which you are now a foreigner. The whole land of Canaan will belong to your descendants forever, and I will be their God.
Okay, I'm doing another Bible reading today from outside. As a number of people had commented on, they loved hearing the birds singing in the background last week. And so today I'm going to read the story of Zacchaeus, who was a man who climbed a sycamore tree to get a view of Jesus. And because he was so short, he had to climb the tree to see Jesus. And we actually have a sycamore tree in our garden just behind me. Maybe it was like the one that Zacchaeus climbed, maybe it was a bit smaller than that, we don't really know. But I'm going to read this story from Luke chapter 19, which you can follow if you have your Bibles at home with you. So it's Luke 19 and verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give you half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Amen. Okay, I'm back here in the house from my garden. A change of clothes as well. How did I do that? But anyway, Over the past few weeks, we have been thinking about people whose lives have been transformed by Jesus. And I've been using this little story of our caterpillars. It's thinking about how things change and transform. And I said I would give you an update every week. Unfortunately, I can't show you live on the camera this week because the caterpillars have turned into chrysalises and I'm not allowed to move them during this time. But what I can show you is a photograph. And there you'll see three of them are hanging upside down. And there's a couple of them, although they're still chrysalises, they're fallen to the ground. Hopefully they're okay. They seem to be okay, but we'll only know that once they start to hatch out. But the transformation from these caterpillars that we just saw a week or two ago, and then seeing what they are turning into, and then we're waiting to see them turn into butterflies, it's a truly amazing process. To watch before your eyes. So it's going to take a couple of weeks before they turn into butterflies. I don't think you'll see them next Sunday, but maybe the Sunday after that we will have butterflies. And these ones I think are going to be red admirals. So let's wait and see what happens. So today we're thinking of someone else that had an encounter with Jesus, whose life was completely transformed when he met Jesus. And that man was Zacchaeus. Now, I have preached on Zacchaeus in the recent past, but that was from looking at the topic of hospitality. So I'm looking at some different things in this story today. But Zacchaeus' life was never the same after his encounter with Jesus. Now, what we know about Zacchaeus from the story is that, one, he was a tax collector, so he collected taxes on behalf of the Roman Empire, and from what we know, he was also a Jew. So being a tax collector and being a Jew put things in a difficult place for Zacchaeus. He certainly would have had hassle from maybe his family and other people in the community because of the job that he did. We're told he was a wealthy man. So this job that he did was obviously very lucrative. He made a lot of money from it. We're told he was a short man. He couldn't see above the crowd to hear Jesus. So we're told he had to climb a tree to do that. When I was young, I was always the tallest in my class, and that usually meant that I was the tree that other people climbed on my back to if they wanted to see something, or I was always the person giving somebody a foot up to climb up the tree. But we're also told that Zacchaeus was somebody who was eager to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Maybe he'd heard about the things that Jesus had done. This story is based in the city of Jericho, so news must have travelled to there from Galilee, from Jerusalem, from other places about Jesus, and Zacchaeus wanted to see him, he wanted to hear him, maybe wanted to see a miracle that he'd heard about. But another side of Zacchaeus is that he would have been somebody who would have felt rejected because of his job. He was somebody who would have been despised by many people. And from a personal point of view, that must have been a difficult thing for him to wrestle with. He would be considered a traitor because of his job. So to collect money for the Roman Empire would have made you a traitor to your own people, because the land of Judea at that time was under occupation by the Roman army. So you can imagine during the Second World War, if, for example, Britain had been invaded by Nazi Germany and certain people in the community had made a decision to work for the Nazi occupation, how that they would be perceived in the community. It put him in a very difficult position. He was also considered a sinner because of what he did. That what he did was not just treachery in some people's eyes, it was sin. Because sometimes tax collectors took more than what they were actually due. They would perhaps take what they needed for, you know, the Roman Empire, and then they would also take something for themselves as well, on top of what they were getting paid by the Romans. So usually there was a bit of deceit involved in this particular job, and so this man would not have had a good standing in his community. And then what we see happening later on, we maybe get an idea as to why people reacted. So anyway, out of all the people in the crowd, Jesus picked out Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had climbed up this tree, a sycamore tree, and he wanted to get a good view of Jesus. And we don't know how many people were there that day. There could have been hundreds gathering around Jesus to see him, to hear him. But Jesus looks up at the tree and he sees Zacchaeus and he calls him down. And Jesus says to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so he came down and welcomed him gladly. And then people start muttering, "He's going to be the guest of a sinner." Why did people get upset? Why were people so upset that Jesus should go to this man's house, that he could pick him out from the whole crowd? I think we've got to understand just how despised this man was, perhaps to understand that. And when I was growing up in Dalkeith as a young boy, as a teenager, it was right in the middle of the miners' strike. Some of you may remember that. My grandpa was a miner. He was in the mines for 40 years near Dalkeith. And most of my classmates' dads were miners as well. And during the miners' strike, when the strike was going on for several months, from what I remember, it lasted. It was a very difficult time for the whole community. It was a difficult time for those families who had someone in their home who decided to go out and strike. But I remember watching the news and seeing people who had decided that they were going to work during that period. And some of them were treated really badly by many others in the community. They were despised, they were labelled as traitors, and they used this horrible word, which some of you may remember from the time, that people were called scabs for breaking the picket line, for going to work. And often used to feel sorry for, you know, some of those folks in the way that they were maybe treated by others in the community. Although it's understandable why people were perhaps angry. And you can imagine in a scenario like that, where almost a whole community is against somebody because of their actions. And then Jesus comes to town one day and Jesus picks out this person. He says, "I'm coming to your house for tea today." You can imagine the reaction. You can imagine what people would have said. And although it's a different time and context, that's perhaps the kind of feeling that people would have had when they saw Jesus inviting himself to this man's house, to Zacchaeus. And people start muttering as soon as they see this. "He's going to be the guest of a sinner." So by that statement, there's perhaps a sense of some people feeling that they are somehow better than Zacchaeus. Perhaps they are closer to God than Zacchaeus. He is a sinner and they are not. There's certainly a division there. And we have to ask a question. Well, when God shows mercy to irreligious people, why is it that so often some people get upset? Why is it that sometimes religious people get upset when it should be the opposite. Surely we should be rejoicing that Jesus should be inviting himself to the house of somebody like Zacchaeus. And yet people are getting upset at this. Now, last week, we looked at how Jesus spent time explaining God's kingdom to religious leaders like Nicodemus, whose life we looked at last Sunday. But when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was in the minority of Pharisees who were willing to listen to Jesus, to believe in Jesus and accept what he taught. The vast majority rejected Jesus. And I wonder, many times looking at the conversations between Jesus and the religious leaders, it seemed to be pride and it seemed to be jealousy that put that barrier in the way from them really listening to Jesus and what he had to say. And so many people can miss out on what God is doing in front of them, sadly, because of pride and jealousy. When you see God doing something good for someone, no matter what their background, no matter what they have done, we should rejoice. It's something that we should welcome with open arms. And even those of us who are Christians, the most religious people, we need to check our hearts sometimes and ask, is my heart full of pride? Is my heart full of jealousy because of what I see God doing in someone else's life? That's something that is deadly to faith, and it's something that we need to be honest about and look at our own heart and ask God to forgive us when perhaps sometimes we feel like that. Because we really miss out on what God is doing. We miss out on the wonderful things that God is doing around us all the time. But look at Zacchaeus' response. He says, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Now, all Jesus has done is he's called him out of the crowd and he said, I'm going to your house today. And to Zacchaeus, that was a sign of acceptance. That was a sign of grace. It was a sign of mercy and perhaps forgiveness. And there's an immediate response. I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I mean, he puts an if at the beginning of that. I think it perhaps betrays something that Zacchaeus knows deep down, that yes, he has cheated people out of money in the past, and that he will pay that money back, not just what he owed, but four times the amount. Quite incredible response. And when we compare that to the Pharisees, their tactics tended to be, many of them tried to see what they could get away with God, doing the bare minimum. So they created all sorts of little rules around God's commandments to allow them to technically keep the commandments, but actually find other ways around them. And you see that in law today. We talk about legal loopholes in the law, where people will technically keep the law, but they're actually breaking the spirit of the law. And unfortunately, sometimes that's what the Pharisees tended to do. They did the bare minimum for God, or tried to find ways around the exact wording of God's commandments. But Zacchaeus' response tells us that this was a complete heartfelt repentance from sin and turnaround. Now, the word repent or repentance literally means a change of mind, a change in direction. And Zacchaeus had been walking down this route for so many years, working as a tax collector, cheating people out of money, getting very wealthy out of it as well. And now he'd had a complete turnaround. He was going 180 degrees in the other direction. And that's what true repentance looks like. When somebody's touched by God, by God's mercy and grace, there should be some kind of response of repentance and true and deep love for God. Now, the Pharisees thought they loved God, but if they really loved God, would they be looking for ways of doing the bare minimum? Would they be looking for ways of finding legal loopholes in God's commandments? But here we see Zacchaeus going even further than what is necessary in order to show respect to Jesus and to love God and to turn around to God again. And then we see Jesus' response to all of this. Jesus says in verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Imagine some of the people muttering, we are good Jews, you know, we keep the commandments, we are doing everything that is right. Why is Jesus showing favour to this man who is a traitor, a sinner, who everyone in this community despises? Why? Well, Jesus is not looking at the man's race. He's looking at his heart. See, anyone who was born a Jew was a son or daughter of Abraham. But this man was lost. This man was lost in his sin. But he's a son of Abraham by faith. The Apostle Paul goes on to describe this in further detail about how we become children of Abraham, children of God by faith, and not according to a specific race. And up until that point, God's favour had been upon the Jewish race exclusively. But now through Jesus, God's favour and mercy is expanded to the whole human race. I think what Jesus is maybe trying to teach the people listening that day is that being a good Jew was not about just keeping the commandments on the outside or trying to do the bare minimum. Being a good Jew is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. And that's what this man had shown. Even though his past life certainly did not reflect that. And Jesus says, the Son of Man, and he uses that statement to describe himself, the Messiah. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now, Zacchaeus was already lost. He was somebody who was lost in his sin, lost in his community. Perhaps he felt lonely. Perhaps he felt alone because people in the street wouldn't speak to him. Perhaps his family had disowned him. We just don't know. But Zacchaeus was well and truly lost. But he's considered a son of Abraham because of his faith and because of the response that Jesus saw in his life. To love God with his whole heart, mind and strength. Zacchaeus held nothing back from God. And for those of us who have perhaps grown up in church, or perhaps you have a strong faith, and I'm talking about myself here as well, there's a warning for us in this story as well. That we are called to love God with everything that we have. That anything else, no matter how religious we may think of ourselves, as a shallow facade, it's papering over cracks and deep-seated spiritual problems if we're holding back from God. If we think that all we have to do is go through the motions and traditions and ritual, that somehow God will look favourably upon us because of that, we are sincerely deceived and deluded. But what God is looking for is true faith. Faith that changes a person's heart and mind and soul, and that as a result, their actions and lifestyle and direction begins to change as well. And that's what real transformation looks like. And in all of these people that we're looking at over the next few weeks, you know, we've seen Nicodemus last week and then Mary Magdalene. All the people we're going to be looking at whose lives were transformed by Jesus, they were all the same. It was not some surface shallow change. It was a radical change in their lives after their encounter with Jesus. And Jesus can do that in anyone's life. We commit ourselves to him and we're honest about our own sin. And we ask God to come in, to forgive us, to transform us, and to show us his love and mercy. Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for your mercy and grace. We thank you for your love that is poured out upon us without measure in your Son, Jesus Christ. And in the story of Zacchaeus, we see a picture of that acceptance and grace and love as Jesus picked out this man from the crowd and decided to go to his house to eat that day, to show him acceptance for who he was and God's love for him, despite the fact that everyone else despised them. Lord, may your grace in the same way touch our hearts and lives. That every person listening today would know the reality of your forgiveness, of your mercy, of your grace, of your love. And may that grace keep us and sustain us each and every day, and especially in these difficult days. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, before we finish, I'm just going to hand over to Sheila, who had prepared a lovely prayer, just for us to think about some of the issues that many people are facing, some of the things that we are obviously having to deal with in these days, and some words of encouragement as well.
I read an article at the beginning of May by Tearfund, and I read it again this week. And it's looking at how British people have been looking to faith during this pandemic. Christian Relief and Tear Fund have done a new nationwide poll finding out a third of people had said that they have prayed since the lockdown began, and they believed that it made a difference. Some of the statistics that I wrote down from the poll that they'd taken was 44% were saying that they pray, 24% of UK adults saying that they have watched a church service online during lockdown, 56% agree that prayer changes the world. The article goes on to say 66% agree that God hears their prayers, 51% that they had prayers answered, 26% say they pray regularly. 1 in 20 of UK adults say they have started praying during lockdown who didn't pray before. I just think that's amazing. Men are actually more likely than women to say that they've watched an online service. I was surprised at that one. Since lockdown, 1 in 5 of UK adults have asked someone else to say a prayer for them, and 1 in 5 have read a text from the Bible during lockdown. I'm just so encouraged to read that God is stirring so many people's hearts in this season. Anyway, that I just wanted to read that out to encourage people before I pray. Just whatever is comfortable for you. If you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. If not, just slow down and pray with me. Father, I thank you that you are so close to us in the midst of this season, that you are in control and nothing is a surprise to you. When everything feels unpredictable and scary for so many people, that you are right in the midst of it all, calming our thoughts and our hearts. And I pray today for those people who are anxious or fearful. Fill them with your peace, Jesus, and a knowledge and a hope that this will pass. For those that have lost loved ones, comfort them. Put your arms around them and help those who are able to support them and love them in whatever practical way they're allowed. Still all of our minds so that we can hear your voice. Father, we pray for our community. I give you thanks for the incredible acts of kindness that are happening, that I see around me all the time, for people coming together in a crisis and blessing those in need. I thank you for Inverclyde. It's just the most generous, giving place with people with the biggest, kindest hearts. Father, we give you our hearts this season as we experience in so many emotions, so much confusion, so much uncertainty. You are our hope. The one thing that we can be certain of, fill us with your peace. We give you our tiredness and our heavy hearts on the difficult days and ask for your exchange. That exchange which gives us fresh hope, peace, and your perspective. We lay down our hearts and ask that your love would wash over us, that we would simply find rest in you. From the busyness of our minds, that we would find your rest. Bless our community, our hospital, our families. Father, we pray for restoration, for healing. Bring us back, Father, to the important things, that we would slow down and listen. And I just want to pray over everyone listening the blessing. A song that has touched thousands of people in our country. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.
I just want to thank all of you for staying and watching our service today, and wish you all well for the next week. And if anyone's able to join with us on Zoom afterwards, if you give me 5 minutes, I'll just grab a coffee and I'll get that set up soon. I'm just going to end this service as I say the benediction. Now, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Amen.